Turn with me to Psalm 119 this morning. We're going to be looking at the blessed walk this morning. The blessed walk. This is really just some thoughts I had while we were on vacation, and I was sitting one morning in the camper, just thinking about, tried to get away and just spend some time. You know, it's hard even on vacation, it seems like, to spend time in God's Word. There's just so much going on, and we have those types of times in our life when there's just so much going on, and it just seems hard. And I just that day, I'm like, I'm just going to take some time and get away and just spend some time in. I had planned on reading all of Psalm 119, and I only got to verse 8, as God just... So these are just some of my devotional thoughts as I was sitting there thinking over Psalm 119, verses 1 through 8. They happen to be 8 verses that I have memorized. So it's one of those things I can run through in my head, but you sometimes forget. I tried to memorize all of Psalm 119 one time. That is beyond my capability. At least it's beyond my capability at the time I was trying, and I'm older now, so I don't think it would work to try and do more. But it's talking about the blessed life. Let's go ahead and just read it again. Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments. I will praise thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned thy righteous judgments. I will keep thy statutes. Oh, forsake me not utterly. You know, the blessed life, I think, is a pure life. The blessed life is a pure life. If you've been saved for any length of time, you understand that our God is a holy God, separate from sin. 1 Peter 1:16, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. We are to strive, as believers, to be holy like God. What a tall order. I mean, you just look at your life, look at my life. I mean, that's just like, it's only by God's grace that we could even in some way resemble God's holiness. But we're called to it. I mean, talk about a almost impossible task without the grace of God and without the Holy Spirit and without our total surrender. It is impossible without our total surrender and without the grace of God and the Holy Spirit working in it, working within us on a daily basis. So this psalm is speaking about a life free from sin and a life that is dedicated to living in a way that is pleasing to God according to His rules. So a life free from sin. And sin is... It's not what we see as sinful, but what God's Word sees as sinful. His Word is the standard by which we decide what is sinful. So I hope that's your desire today, to live a life, as 1 Peter says, to be holy, for God is holy, to strive for that in your life. I hope that's what your desire is. I understand that maybe not everybody's come to that point in their Christian life where they just like, I just want to be holy. I think as we grow in our understanding of who God is, and we read God's Word and we meditate on it, I think we come to that where we understand our own sinfulness and understand who God is, and we kind of come to that point, hopefully, of obedience where it's like, boy, Lord, I want to be like you in holiness. I want to be like you. So he says, blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. The first word used that talks about purity or holiness is undefiled. And that speaks of being blameless or complete or sound. It was used of animals being sacrificed. Exodus 12:5 says, your lamb shall be without blemish. That's the idea here, without blemish. Undefiled is without blemish, complete, sound. To be defiled means that there is some blemish in us, something that is not as it should be according to God's standard. Not according to man's standard, but according to God's standard, there's some blemish in us. Something that's not as it should be. I bought a horse for my wife. When growing up, I had horses. My parents had horses, I should say. We had horses all the time. And my father still had a horse, and my wife wanted a horse. So I said, okay, I'll buy you a horse. I started looking, and the horse I found was super well trained. It was just amazing. This horse did anything you asked it to do, did it just right. I mean, it was like, this is a perfect horse because she hasn't grown up riding horses, and it'd be a perfect horse for her. And I was asking him, why is it so cheap? Well, they showed horses in 4-H. And this particular Appaloosa kind of had a sway back. You know how some horses kind of have that sway back, and they're like, we can't win any competitions because in the judge's eyes, their horse was blemished. It did everything that the judges wanted to do, but because it was a sway back, it couldn't win the competitions. Just that one little blemish stopped it from being the horse that they envisioned. And they were selling it, and really we got it pretty cheap for such a well-trained horse just because of that. And other people might not have liked it because it wasn't the prettiest horse, but it was a perfect horse for my wife. To be blessed, we should strive for a life without spiritual blemishes. We cannot always choose our physical appearance, but we can ask God to help us with our sinful blemishes, right? I mean, some of us might think, why did God create me the way I am? You know, maybe there's some outward blemishes. You know, when I don't mean to get anything for you teens here, but, you know, going to high school with blemishes, you know, that is one of the worst things that can happen to a young teenager. And we don't like blemishes, outward blemishes. Some sinful blemishes are visible to others, and some we're good at hiding. You might even be thinking about some blemishes spiritually or sinfully that you might be good at hiding. I think probably all of us have those sinful blemishes that we hide from other people. But we know God sees them all. God sees every blemish. He sees all the sin. And he is the one who will bless those who strive to be undefiled or without those sinful blemishes. That's our goal. Be holy as I'm holy. Strive that we are not defiled in some way. There's not some blemish in our lives. I thought about listing off some blemishes, but decided to let Scripture speak about blemishes that God hates. Proverbs 6:16 through 19, I'll just read it. These six things does the Lord hate. These would be spiritual blemishes that we could have in our lives. These six things does the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him. A proud look. A spiritual blemish is when we have pride. I think all struggle with pride at times. A proud look. A lying tongue. Who could say that we've never lied? Hands that shed innocent blood. Hopefully you've not murdered anybody. A heart that devises wicked imaginations. Have you ever just sit there and thought about something and you all of a sudden thought, this isn't something that God would want me to be thinking about. Maybe if it's just about some person and you think evil about them. If you sit there and dwell on wrong things, that's wicked imaginations. That's thinking about things that, and God hates that. God hates it when we sit there and dwell on those things. Feet that be swift to running to mischief. In other words, always going after those things that are sinful, sinful blemishes. You see something going on and you're swift to run to it. A false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. Obviously, this is not a complete list of sins that defile us or blemishes. But notice they are undefiled in the way. Blessed are the undefiled, those without sinful blemishes, in the way. And the way speaks of a road or a journey. A road or a journey. I love going on road trips. Anybody here love going on road trips? Just like getting in the car, driving. I just love that. The way, if my perfect vacation would be have about 3 weeks and just take off in a direction and just see where I end up. And about the time I have to head back, I turn around and I start heading the other direction. That's my perfect vacation. Just like, hey, honey, let's head for the west. And just see where we end up. I love that. My wife is a planner. If you're a planner, you don't like that, probably. My wife is a planner. She wants to know where we're going to stay that night, what hotel we're going to stay in. Sometimes because I'm not a planner like that, it's like we stop in a town and it's like, all the hotels are full. There's a conference this week. Sorry, honey. I know we're really tired, but we got to drive 2 more hours to get to the next town. So that sometimes that type of trip can lead to some problems. That's how I like to go on vacations. I like looking behind the barns and seeing what's there, you know, or in the side yard and seeing what's there. You know, that may be okay for a road trip, but it's not okay in life's journey. Sadly, there are many who live life that way. They just take off going through life, going wherever they want that day, doing whatever they want to do, and with no real purpose of getting anywhere. You can say that may be okay on a road trip, but it's not okay in our lives. Because it says, blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Proverbs 14:12 says, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. So there are ways, there are paths in life that can seem right. It can seem like this is a good way to go. This is a direction I'm going to take. But it doesn't lead to life. It doesn't lead to the blessing that we're talking about here in Psalm 119. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. There are different ways or journeys that we can take in life. And we should strive to walk in the way that leaves the least blemishes. Right? Strive to walk in the way that leaves the least blemishes. I don't know if you've ever bought a new car or a new car to you that's really pristine. Don't you just hate it when you get that first door ding? You walk out of the store and somebody parked right next to you. I always park, I don't care even now. My car's worth something to me. I park way out. People love my car. Because I could park way out and somebody will come and park right next to me. And it's like, what are you doing that for? I park out here for a reason. I don't want blemishes. But you get that new car and that first door ding and you're thinking, oh, my car. And somebody scratches it and you're like, my car. Or you go to the gas station on a windy day and you don't think about it and you open your door and the wind all of a sudden catches your door and it whack right into those poles that they put there just to dent your doors. I think they have a deal with a body shop. just to blemish your car. Now it's all dented up. You ever drive beside somebody on the expressway? I do this all the time. I'm driving. We went through Cincinnati. We went down to the Ark. And driving through Cincinnati, and this guy pulls up beside me, and his car's just all dented up. And it's like, you know, pieces are hanging. He had a mirror just kind of taped on there, just a little tiny mirror taped on there. And it's like, get away from me. You obviously don't know how to drive. Your car is all blemished. Why do I not want to be by that car? Because it's got all those visible blemishes. In life, sometimes people are like that. There's obvious blemishes because of the way they've lived their life. I watched a show. It was like a police show where they were showing interactive police, where police were actually live doing things. And the policeman showed on the camera this lady's license, driver's license picture, because he wanted you to see the before and after. Like 2 or 3 years before this, her driver's license picture was of a really nice-looking young lady. And he wanted to show what drugs and that do, because she looked, as you looked at her, she looked like she was 80 years old. 2 or 3 years ago, she had been a pretty young lady. The blemishes of sin and going a certain direction in life, sometimes they're visible. But we have to be careful, because it's easy for us to sometimes hide the blemishes as believers. We sometimes have those blemishes. They're inside and we're good at hiding them. And God sees them though. God knows the blemishes. The path you choose or the way you choose in life will have consequences. There are consequences to the path you take. Young people, you really need to stop and think about the path you're going to take, because it will have consequences, and the path you take might decide what blemishes you have. And I know of kids that were raised in godly families that if you look at them today, their life, it's obvious that there's been bad consequences for the choices they made and the way they chose to take. And we have to be very careful. The consequences, just like the car, may leave blemishes. So we should strive to live our life in regards to sinful blemishes, like the car collector that treats his, you know, car collectors, you go to car shows and they're out there, oh, a little bug just came by and, you know, and I got to clean that up. And they're always just right there to take any blemish off their car. They want their car to be spotless. And in our lives, that's how we should want spirit sinful blemishes. We shouldn't even want them there. We should be quick to detail our lives. The goal, walking in God's way, to walk in the law of the Lord, so that we are not defiled in the path that we take. And then he says, blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with a whole heart, and they also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. So not only are they undefiled, but they do no iniquity. We know from Scripture that we cannot become sinless on earth, but the goal is to do no iniquity. 1 John 1:8 through 10 says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Aren't you glad that there's cleansing for sin? God has promised that when we sin, he will cleanse us. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. So we're not talking about sinlessness, but sinning less and keeping a short sin account with God. God's kind of like that car collector. When we sin and we confess, he wipes away that blemish. He takes that blemish away. Aren't you glad for the forgiveness that is in Christ? And that He's willing to forgive all our sins? Because truth is, we all have those blemishes. All of us sin. But we have a gracious and merciful and loving God. So we're not talking about sinlessness, but sinning less. And there are those, you know, in life there are those, and you've seen them, that can lie and cheat and steal and any other amount of sin and just never feel remorse. There are those whose life's habits are wickedness in many forms. Just talking about the lady who was on the drugs and how that changed her life. And it's hard for us at times to understand how terrible people can be. How they can murder and abuse people and the drugs and the gangs and all the violence in our country today. It's hard to understand how people can treat others that way. These people can sin and they actually glory in it. They boast in sin. And it's getting that way in our country, that people boast in sin and they hate righteousness. And it's easy for us to look at those very sinful people and think that they are the ones that this passage is talking about. But we need to be careful because it says that blessed people do no iniquity. No iniquity. I think we become comfortable with some iniquity. We get complacent with our sinfulness. Holiness means no sin. That's the goal. I wonder how much of our sin we excuse away. So what's your habit of life when it comes to sin? So we've seen that the blessed life is a pure life. The blessed life is also a focused life. The blessed life is also a focused life. We need to focus on the direction that we're going. Without focus, we'll tend to wander aimlessly, just kind of like me on that road trip. Just wander aimlessly. And without a focus in our life, we will tend to wander aimlessly. Because it says we are to... walk, in verse 1, walk in the law of the Lord. Walk in the law of the Lord. What does it mean to walk in the law of the Lord? It means that there are boundaries that are in place for the Christian. Boundaries in place. We are to walk within the boundaries that the law of the Lord sets up in our life. To make it easier, think about the boundaries in a sporting event. I know not all of you watch football, but I know some of you do. And have you ever watched a play where maybe, especially this happens on punt returns or kickoff returns, where a player receives the ball, and a lot of times they sprint toward the sideline and they try to get up the sideline to make it all the way to the end zone. And he catches it on, say, the 5-yard line and he sprints to the edge and he's got that gap. But at about the 20-yard line, his foot just touches the line. And he runs all the way to the end zone, all the way to the end, thinking he's won he's made the touchdown, but all the way back at the 20-yard line, the line judge is blowing his whistle, but nobody can hear because everybody's screaming and hollering because this guy did such a great thing. But the line judge is sitting back here, no. All that you did is worthless because you went out of bounds all the way back here. And it's easy for us in our life to get out of bounds. To go outside of the Word of God. The player thought that what he had done was great. But in the end, it didn't count because he had stepped out of bounds. Boundaries are important in our life. I'm sure all of you set up boundaries for your kids. You had boundaries that you're like, I don't want you to go, you know, we set up boundaries for little kids. Don't go out on the road. That's a boundary. Don't do it. It's dangerous for you. The Bible does the same thing. It sets up boundaries. It said, don't go here. Don't do this. Don't do that. The lines they paint on the road are boundaries meant to show you where it's safe to drive. Today, it seems like for many people, those are just suggestions than a hard and fast rule. But those lines, they're just a suggestion. I saw on a video of a truck driver out west. And out west, the roads are wider and they have big shoulders in places. And there are two lines of traffic. And this truck driver is passing this big, long line of traffic on the shoulder. And he just goes flying by everybody on the shoulder. It's like, he obviously didn't care about the boundaries. Those are only a suggestion. Some of you may take them that way. Those lines are just a suggestion. Sorry, Ben. But motorcyclists. I don't know if that's how you ended up with that or not, you know, but don't motorcyclists just take those lines as a suggestion? I mean, you see them all the time going way outside. I wasn't saying this just because of you being here today with that broken wrist. Something happened with a motorcycle and him and his wrist. So I'm not picking on him, though. But motorcyclists go outside of the bounds all the time. That's just a suggestion. But sometimes going out of those bounds have real consequences. And God has set up these boundaries, these lines for a reason. And Scripture, God is giving, blessed are the undefiled. If you want a blessed life, you're going to live an undefiled life in God's way and walk in God's law. You know, the Bible sets boundaries for your life. And life goes better when we learn to live within those boundaries. Your life goes better within the boundaries. As a young child growing up, didn't life go better with your mom and dad when you lived within the boundaries of what they set up? And there was tension in the home when we stepped outside of the boundaries. Maybe you got a spanking, or maybe you got your mouth washed out with soap or something like that. Anybody ever get your mouth washed out with soap? A few people. Anybody ever get a spanking? You know, that's because we step outside of boundaries. And the same thing, when we step outside of God's boundaries, we like say, I don't want the blessing. We think whatever is outside of that boundary is going to bring us more enjoyment or make us happier than God's blessings. We get confused at times, don't we? We get confused and think that whatever is outside of the boundary is going to make us happier. And in reality, living with inside the boundaries is what makes us happier. That's what makes a happier home. When the kids follow the parents' boundaries, things go much better. You know, kids, parents don't want to really discipline you. They would be much happier just if you follow the boundaries, if you stayed within the rules. So he goes on to say here, blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. I think that's important. That's really important. Because I think there are times that we stay within the boundaries, but we're not seeking him with the whole heart. See, the blessing comes both as we stay within the boundaries and when we are spiritually seeking to know God more. When we're striving to live within his boundaries and we are seeking him with our whole heart. Totally our whole life is totally dedicated to being more like God, to knowing Him more, to keep His testimonies, and to seek Him. He says, Thou hast commanded us to keep Thy precepts diligently, seeking with the whole heart, diligently trying to stay within the boundaries. You know, a good football player, he's trying hard to stay within the boundaries. He knows that if he steps out, the whole play is done. You know, they have gotten really good. I haven't watched football for a couple of year and a half or something like that now. I just kind of stopped watching it. But they're really good at tiptoeing along that line. You know, they catch a pass and they're tiptoeing, and it's like they're falling over, but they're keeping their feet in the bounds. It's just amazing how athletic some of them are. They're trying so hard to do it right because they know if they don't do it right, there's no reward. They're diligently trying to do that. Oh, that my ways. I mean, just he changes to this desire. This is what keeps you blessed. This walking in God's way, this desiring to have no sin in my life and desiring to walk the way God wants me to do. And then he's like, oh, that was me. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. Oh, God, that could be said about me. God, I have a desire that is how I live my life. God, I want to be that person. I want to be the person that stays within the bounds. I want to be the person that's life is free from sin. Oh God, make me that person. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments. Imagine going to the car show with that car that I saw driving down the road, and it's like, you pull up, and it's like, well, I'm kind of ashamed of my car here to be even at the car show. Was there ever a time when you were ashamed to talk to your parents? You know, they're confronting you about something, and you're ashamed of what you had done, and it's like, you didn't really want to hold up your head because you were ashamed of how you had, whatever it was you had done in your life, you're like, I'm ashamed I did that. But when our ways are directed to keep thy statutes, and we've sought him diligently, we're seeking him with our whole heart, then shall I not be ashamed. When I respect God's commandments. You know, young people, you don't obey your parents. Let me stop here. Let me just ask you, do you respect your parents? Do you respect your parents? If you respect your parents, you will obey your parents. You have respect to what they say. You know, if you don't respect them, you don't obey them. You don't do what they ask you to do. You cannot say respect your parents if you don't obey them consistently. And the same goes with God. If we're continually stepping out of the bounds, then we don't have respect. We can say we respect God and that we love God and we want to serve Him, but if we're not following His ways, if in reality we'd stand before Him and we'd be ashamed, then we don't respect him. But because he has this attitude of, I want my ways to reflect keeping God's statutes. I don't want to be ashamed. I want to stand before God not ashamed. Then he can go and worship God. I will praise thee with uprightness of heart. See, when we can come to church, Or come to our morning prayer time and Bible time and go there with uprightness of heart and worship God, and there's nothing between us. That's when worship is sweet. when there's nothing that is standing between us and God. That's when we can go and praise Him with uprightness of heart. When I shall have learned thy righteous judgments, the idea of when I've totally understand through learning your way. When I've made your word, I've understood your word enough, I've studied enough that I understand the boundaries, I understand your ways, and I can worship God in uprightness of heart when I understand what God wants me to do. I'm staying within the boundaries, and I'm respecting what God's asked me to do, and I'm living that life, that blessed life. And his last phrase here, I will keep thy statutes. It's like, Lord, I want to. I'm striving to keep your standards. Not mine, not the world's. I'm striving to keep yours. And then the last phrase, if you don't stop and think about it, sounds out of place. Oh, forsake me not utterly. What's the psalmist saying there? He sees his frailty while striving. He sees his own human frailty. He sees his own human sinfulness. And even during the striving, he's like, Lord, don't forsake me. He understands the level of sin in his life. And even though he's striving to stay within the bounds, he's seeking God daily. He sees how far short he falls from God's holiness. And he pleads for God's grace. God, don't forsake me because I see how far I have to go and I see your holiness. And God, I ask for your grace to get there. I ask for your grace because I see where I'm at. And I need you every moment of every day on this walk that we walk, on this journey that we take as believers. We need God every day. Single moment of every day to walk that walk. The question is today for you is where are you on the journey, that blessed walk? Are you walking with the blessing of God in your life? Are you striving daily to seek Him? Are you diligently trying to not only understand where the boundaries are, but once you understand those boundaries, trying to stay within them? Or have you decided to go on that road trip? If you do, and if you have decided on the road trip, there'll be blemishes. There will be consequences. Maybe you're here today and you're thinking, I've been on the road trip, but I want to get back on God's ways. I want to start following God. If you're there, maybe it's time. We don't normally have an altar. We don't always have an altar call, but maybe it's time to come down to the altar. You can confess anything that's wrong right there in your seat. You don't have to come down here, but maybe you'd feel like, I just want to come down and spend a couple minutes praying and asking God to help me stay on, we'd call it the straight and narrow, right? God, I've been off on my own road trip, but I want to get back. I want to merge back in. You know, merging can be hard at times because people don't follow the lines. But, you know, you follow the right signs, you follow the Word of God. It says, the blessed life is this way. Is that what you want? Is that the exit you want to take? Or is that the entrance ramp you want to take to get back on that blessed path? Lord, I pray that you'd help us today because I think most of us could be like the psalmist. It says, Lord, I see my sinfulness. I see that I need help. Lord, don't forsake me, but give me grace. I have a desire to seek you. I have a desire to get back on the right path. And Lord, I pray that you would help me to do that. I ask that God's Holy Spirit would not be resisted today. We talked about resisting the Holy Spirit. I ask that we would not resist the Holy Spirit as He works in our hearts. All of us have done that at times. I pray today that if God's Holy Spirit is working in hearts and lives, that there would be humility, that there would be even revival in hearts today, that people would decide to obey God and get on the right path today. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.